Welcome to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, a podcast to explore and discover the joy of camping and being in the great outdoors.
I'm Allison Logan.
And I'm Steph Pavan. We're your hosts.
This season, we're stepping up our camping game and going beyond the basics. Whether you're an expert camper or you're new to all of this, we're creating a camping community to share the many lessons and stories, tips and tricks, and all the fun that comes with getting outside and fireside.
We're bringing you into the world of camping and inviting you to join the Campfire Committee community. Remember to download, subscribe, and follow us on social at the Campfire Committee so you don't miss an episode or any new fun bits.
This podcast is about camping, and though we camp primarily in Ontario, we would like to recognize the Indigenous past, present, and future with a land acknowledgement for Toronto, where we live and make this podcast.
We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and this city is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people.
We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed by the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
We always aim to grow our understanding of and respect for the diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people in Toronto, Ontario, and Canada. And we seek to forge better relationships and celebrate this land with those whom have historically called this place their home as we visit these places to camp. And we encourage our listeners to do the same.
Now, let's light this campfire.
Today's topic is a big one to unpack. What you bring on any camping trip can easily be the difference between a great time and a not so great time.
And let's be honest, we both love this part. Our excitement and obsession with the organizational taskmaster checklist upon checklist preparedness thing that this can become has been whittled down into a jam-packed episode with everything you need to know about preparing yourself for car camping.
As the date of the trip draws near and I've got my site booked, the next thing I always do is make a packing list. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I make lists on lists on lists. But the point is to plan what you need to bring and record it somewhere you can refer back to.
Oh, yeah. Definitely lists on lists on lists. And even though we're talking about car camping, consider what type of trip you're actually planning. Are you going for a short weekend getaway or are you moving around from place to place on a road trip? Are you going for a week with the family and want to feel more settled? Or are you making your campsite home for the maximum number of nights that you can reserve?
With all that in mind, we'll start with a standard general packing list. The things you're going to need no matter what. We'll go through each category in detail, outlining the basics you need to rough it, and what you might want for a glamping trip.
Okay, let's pause here and define glamping, or at least what it means to us. Glamping Hub defines it as, quote, a noun, informal, the activity of camping with some of the comforts and luxuries of home. Providing the example, imagine glamping in a carpeted tent with a queen bed, end quote.
Glamping for us definitely falls into more of that category. It's more than what you'll get at a campground and more akin to a cabin or cottage experience.
I agree. I think it's become a really popular term, and for me, it gives this picture of either platform tents or a cabin, like you said, with heat and a nice bed. For some, car camping and RVs, for that matter, can reach the realms of what a purist might refer to as glamping, and I would say that some might even consider tent trailers or sleeping on an air mattress like we both do, or having camping wine glasses as glamping. And fair enough. But that isn't how we view it. Instead, for us, these things would fall under camping the way that you feel the most prepared and relaxed.
With camping, comfort is important. And whatever that means and however you achieve that is up to you.
So, back to the list itself.
Yes, let's. However you slice it, when you go camping, you'll always need the following.
Somewhere to sleep, something to eat, and some way to cook it.
Your personal gear and toiletries.
Nighttime light. Safety and first aid supplies.
A camping essentials kit.
And last, but definitely not least, the nice-to-haves. Those electronics, sports and water, or extra equipment and the other activities that you might do.
Each of these categories can really expand to your heart's content and be tailored to any situation, as well as the space available in your vehicle.
Although, believe me, even with a small car, where there's a will, there is a way when it comes to creative car packing.
Oh, there sure is. So let's get to the details of what you'll need to cram in there, circling back to somewhere to sleep. Whether it's a tent, trailer, or RV, you'll need a shelter to sleep in and a place to sleep inside it. The bare minimum is a tent spot for each camper, as well as a sleeping bag and sleeping pad or air mattress.
Something to keep in mind is that when a tent notes that it sleeps four people, it assumes that all four adults will be sleeping in a sleeping bag with a narrow or thin sleeping pad. It isn't accounting for a lot of extra items that you bring in the tent with you, or a sizable air mattress. The number of persons a tent is for means it will comfortably sleep that many adult bodies. Although sharing is caring, sharing a tent with someone you don't know that well isn't necessarily comfortable for everyone. Also, in our current time of COVID, being mindful of who you're sharing a tent with and keeping yourself safe is also an important consideration. So, depending on who is on your camping trip, you may need more tents, something that should be thought of when you're actually planning and booking your site itself, like we mentioned in our first episode.
Once you've got a place for all the campers sorted, each person needs something to sleep in, usually a sleeping bag, and to sleep on, the aforementioned sleeping pad or air mattress. Both should be suitable for the time of year you're camping.
The purpose of what you sleep on isn't just for physical comfort. It also plays a big role in thermal comfort, and depending on the weather or climate that you're in, its insulating properties could actually be really important for you. Having that layer between yourself and the ground is important for keeping warm. You can find a variety of sleeping pad options out there, from the basic blue foam pad to more advanced self-inflating pads, all in a variety of sizes. You can also choose to go with a larger air mattress, again, in a variety of widths and inflated heights. Whatever you select, be sure it will properly fit into your tent.
I recall you running into a little problem with that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I distinctly remember a two-man tent with a double-high twin air mattress that I don't know if you can accurately describe as fitting properly into your tent.
Okay, so that might have been a really poor planning job on my part, combined with, you know, the excitement of having upgraded to this new double-high air mattress, and it may have ended up taking up the entire footprint of my tent, plus it didn't really allow me to sit up inside of it, but it was a comfortable one-night sleep, I have to say.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny to see you emerge from that tent bed in the morning.
Oh, gosh. Thank goodness there's no videos of that out there. I haven't given it a try in that two-man tent since, but that air mattress is fantastic in a bigger tent. I can actually fit two of those double-height twin air mattresses in my current dome tent. Each is along the opposite sides of the tent, and there's enough room to move in between, as well as store our belongings at the foot of the bed. And then Bear, our camping cat, is on a little folding table with his portable crate in between us. Regardless, remember to be mindful of how much space your sleeping arrangements will take up. When it comes to getting a good night's sleep, making sure you have a comfortable sleeping bag that is made for the right weather will be key. Most sleeping bags are rated by temperature, so select accordingly.
I'm a cool sleeper and enjoy a cozy minus 12 degrees Celsius mummy bag from late spring through early fall. It can be overkill in the summer, but even then I usually end up inside it.
I absolutely hate mummy sleeping bags, the ones that taper at the feet. They are great for warmth, but I need to be able to move my legs around when I toss and turn all night. I have a couple of sleeping bags to choose from depending on the number of nights that I'm away for and the time of year that I'm going camping. Generally, I like to have a heavier sleeping bag and then always have an extra blanket that I can either use for some extra warmth or as a layer on its own if it's a warmer night.
Once you have your sleeping bag and air mattress, you can start to add some camping luxuries into the equation and have things like pillows, compact, inflatable, or Old Faithful from home, sleeping bag liners, extra blankets, and the like. And just make sure whatever you choose, you add it to your list.
If you want more space and the option to sleep on a tall, inflatable mattress, go for an even bigger tent. I'd say half or less the recommended number of occupants than it's sized for. One thing I like having, especially on those longer trips, is some kind of bedside table situation. Now it's the side of Bear's little table cot thing that's in between us, but I used to use an upside down milk crate when the space allowed for it. It's somewhere to put my glasses and my water bottle. And it's definitely a making it home kind of luxury and not necessary, but nice to have.
If you're opting for sleeping quarters like we do with big air mattresses, the faux suede texture that's on the top of those things really beckons the use of a fitted sheet under your sleeping bag, and you can go all out with full bedding if you'd like. Remember, these types of air mattresses are not insulated, so you'll need extra layers below your sleeping bag in cooler weather. Whatever you plan to bring, add it to your list. As you can see, it's easy to bring a fair amount of gear just to have what you need for somewhere to sleep.
All right, so what's next?
Something to eat.
This can and will be a complete episode on its own. But without getting into menu planning and food packing specifics, at minimum, you'll have dry or canned food that needs to be stored in your vehicle, probably a beverage or two that may need to be kept cold, and realistically, you'll probably have a lot of food, much of which needs to be kept cool in a cooler with lots of ice.
You'll also likely need a pantry, and this could be like an ounce of oil and vinegar with salt and pepper for a quick salad or a full-out portable version of your pantry at home.
Overall, for food, pack what you need for a pre-planned menu and some extra easy meals or snacks. Sometimes that hike calls for an extra lunch, like canned soup or mac and cheese.
Drinking water is available at most campgrounds, with signage posted if things change. But you will need to bring something to store it in, and it should be larger than your water bottle. Much larger, in fact. Collapsible water containers work well for smaller volumes, but the tried and true is a 6-gallon water jug with a handle and spout.
Absolutely. Moving right along, much of what you bring to eat will require a way to cook it.
If we're beginning with the basics, then a roasting stick and a barbecue tool or two could do you all right. Fire pits at campgrounds usually have a grill on hinges that can be flipped over the fire pit for cooking.
Have we, or would we ever really cook food right on that grill, though?
No. There are a few too many unknowns for my liking. But as a place for corn in the husk or cooking a cast iron skillet meal 100%, a propane stove is the campsite standard, and a stove with two burners will get you through most meals and allow you to cook or heat two things at once. A mini barbecue is a nice to have, and an additional single burner stove can give you another place to cook for big meals or for boiling water.
Typically, dehydrated meals that only require water are used when you're backcountry and need to keep things really light. So we're making the assumption that you won't be eating that way when you're car camping. If you do, you might only need a vessel for boiling water on a fire or a small single burner stove.
Accompanying all of this is your trusty kitchen bin. Check out our show notes for recommendations and links for a detailed kitchen bin list. Pots, pans, plates, bowls, cutlery, sharp knives, cooking utensils, you get the idea. There are a few key items to always double check for, as they tend to find their way elsewhere. A can opener, scissors, and a corkscrew. Though there are alternative methods for opening bottles and cans, and a knife can do a lot that a pair of scissors can do, there's specific tools for these tasks, and when you're camping, those tools are even more appreciated.
Yeah. Disposable dishes and cutlery are easy, cheap, and a lot of people opt for them. But we don't promote this. Yes, in a pinch and for things like late night snacks, it's nice to have a few extra paper plates in your kitchen bin on hand. And sure, you can burn them and possibly recycle the cutlery, but we'd suggest finding an economical reusable set. And if you don't want to do dishes, opt for meals that don't require plates. Maybe some tinfoil campfire meals. Regardless of what you choose, we really want to encourage everyone to minimize the amount of garbage and waste that you produce while camping. And always be sure to clean up properly, whether that means dishes or not.
Speaking of, final point in this category, bring two bins for washing your dishes. Biodegradable soap and a washcloth or scrubber and some dish towels. You could even bring a dish rack or drying mat to let dishes air dry.
Even though there is that water tap, you can't use it to wash your dishes. Bring that water back to your site and use your bins to clean up. So, here's a category that has a few lists of its own. Personal gear and toiletries.
When you're car camping and therefore not carrying your belongings, you can bring lots of extra clothing. Because of this, we'll save diving deeper into outdoor clothing for when we discuss backcountry camping. But the essentials are pretty much the same.
You'll need day clothes, evening clothes, and something to sleep in. It's always important to have a separate set of clothes for sleeping in. This I cannot stress enough. No matter what the weather is, our bodies sweat, and when you go to bed, especially when the temperature is going to drop, you will be cold. This is a lesson I have learned the hard way many times over, especially in my younger, I don't care, I know better, years of camping. Getting out of your clothes and putting on something dry for bed will always give you a better chance of a good night's sleep.
On top of that, always have outerwear and layers for the season, and of course, swimwear if needed.
Appropriate footwear, ideally some sort of waterproof shoe or boot, and a sight shoe or sandals, and socks. Always have extra socks. If you only have one pair of shoes and they get wet, they're going to take a long time to dry, especially if the wet weather continues. And you'll only have wet shoes to wear. Bringing a spare pair of shoes in addition to sandals can be a saving grace if wet weather yields cooler temperatures.
Oh yeah. And finally, personal hygiene items.
Don't forget your sunscreen, which you should be wearing every day already. Bring along some bug repellent and hand sanitizer and any prescriptions you take. Plus, if you don't already have it in your first aid kit, it would be a good idea to throw in at least a few standard medications for headaches, nausea, digestion, and allergies. And maybe some wet wipes.
Maybe some wet wipes. I'd say definitely some wipes.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, lots and lots of wipes. They have always been a nice thing to have, but have become an essential items in the recent past and foreseeable future here in Ontario. In order to adhere to pandemic public health requirements, provincial parks closed their showering facilities. With the caveat that you could not use soap, yes, even biodegradable soap, in any body of water or use a portable shower on your campsite. Mm-hmm. You were invited to swim in the lakes and use a cloth. Or how I read those restrictions, use some wipes. Just remember to throw your wipes out in the garbage.
And ladies, don't forget your menstrual products.
There are so many lists out there, but just know this. You're going to get dirty, you're going to get wet, and you will still probably wear the same things most of the time. In the summer, that could be a bathing suit and a t-shirt or a dress. And in the winter, you may want that warm sweater you brought every single minute of the day.
Even in the summer, it gets cool at night. And if it's hot during the day, the temperature difference can feel quite drastic. No matter how warm it says it's going to be, bring a pair of pants. That's advice we'd recommend to anyone, even if both of our spouses have been known not to heed it. Last summer, it ended up being that neither of them, both experienced campers at that, had brought a pair of long warm pants with them. While it might not sound like a big deal being summer and all, like I said, the temperatures, especially when camping in Northern Ontario, can dip pretty darn low at night. I won't be without a hat, scarf, and gloves even during a heat wave when I'm camping up there.
I still can't believe those guys. No pants? Come on. Anyways, next category is first aid and safety gear. Similar to cooking, this subject warrants an entire episode. However, these types of things are worth repeating. A first aid kit, sized for the number of people you're camping with, is a must, and so is ensuring it's fully stocked. In a COVID world, include masks and hand sanitizer.
The medication I mentioned earlier could be part of your first aid kit, too.
In terms of safety gear, we're referring to things like whistles, bear horns, and spray, for example. Items like these may be more pertinent in a backcountry camping scenario, but it can never hurt to have them around.
Also in this category, PFDs for activities on the water and helmets for cycling or climbing.
Speaking of staying safe, having light at night is key.
Yeah.
Make sure to have a flashlight at the very least, but a headlamp is even better.
Oh yeah, having that right on your head so you can see where you're going as you walk, it's fantastic.
Hands free. Enough said.
Yeah. A lantern or even complete outdoor lighting systems can provide you with the light where you need it throughout your campsite.
And now for the drunk...
Well, yeah, we do need to bring the bottle supply and things like that. They have their own spot.
And now for the junk drawer of camping supplies, the camping essentials kit.
Like your kitchen bin, these items will likely be in a bin and can be further organized with smaller bins, mesh bags, and good old sandwich bags.
This bin should include rope, tarps and carabiners,
reusable twist ties, clips and clothespins,
matches, fire starter,
garbage and recycling bags,
all different sizes of sandwich bags,
citronella candles,
pick coils, pick coil holder.
And if you're wondering what pick is, it's those little incense-like spirals. They can also be sticks that you burn to keep away insects. The holder is a metal container that holds these while they're burning, and so you can hang them up wherever you'd like.
I remember having no idea what pick was and not wanting to ask you since you talked about it as such a camping essential. I felt silly because I had no idea what it was.
I'm sure you did know. You just weren't aware that that's what I was actually referring to.
Yeah. No. I didn't.
Well, and it's not something I really use anymore anyways. Not the best enough for the environment and things like that. So we've also upgraded to a thermocell, which is basically a new fancy version of that that's all the rage in bug repellents.
Yeah, and pretty effective. Anyways, anything else in the camping essential bin we missed?
Maybe a tablecloth and tablecloth clips.
Oh, and extra dish scrubbers or cloths.
There's usually a pack of cards, maybe some ping pong balls or glow sticks in there too.
Many of the items that we've listed for this bin are consumable, so check what needs refilling before packing this bin up.
Yeah, you really don't want to be without the things when you get to the campsite and then realize that you didn't stock up again before you left.
Yeah, like matches.
Oh, yeah. Or garbage bags, all of it.
Yeah, like these are, they're called camping essentials for a reason.
Yeah. Arguably, this next section isn't essential at all. However, trips have often been defined by the additional and often luxurious or fun items that you bring. Camping furniture, activities, sports, and water equipment.
In Ontario, all car camping sites come equipped with at least one picnic table, so technically speaking, no furniture is needed. However, you can't build a circle around a campfire with just one picnic table.
Not so much. And with a camp stove and six people, as the only surface on the site, those picnic tables can become pretty crowded spaces pretty quickly.
If the picnic table is all you've got, a durable plastic tablecloth with tablecloth clips from your camping essentials bin gives you a surface you can wipe down and cover those pesky slits between the table boards so you won't lose a game piece or chopped up veg while you're preparing dinner.
We always try and make sure we bring a chair per person. When you've been active all day on a trip, you really appreciate having a chair to sit down in at the end of the day. When we can, we even try and bring a chair for each of the pets. Neither of them wants to stay on the ground, and we'll take the opportunity to snag a chair as soon as a human gets up if there aren't any extras for them.
Yeah, Macy still takes my chair whenever she can, even with her own sitting right next to it.
The sass. Oh my goodness, what a goof. When it comes to camp chairs, keep in mind that not all are created equal. There are a number of different options, so take a look at what's available and most comfortable for you within your price range. Sit down in the chair if you have the chance before you purchase.
You might be ordering a chair online, or you can't sit in it in store. So without going into too much detail, what are the different styles you're likely to come across?
You got your older aluminum fold-up lawn chair, which typically don't travel as well since they can't be packed down. You have the more updated director-style chair, which are sturdy and often have an attached table or ledge, but again, they don't pack down as nicely. Then you have your very popular standard collapsible camp chair that packs into a long, narrow bag. These chairs themselves come in a range with armrests, drink holders, footrests, or larger love seat sizes. No matter what you decide, it's nice to take a seat and lean back while you're relaxing on your site.
Yeah, it's a luxury, but it's a necessary luxury when you are car camping, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
A cooking station is a great place to set up your kitchen and immediately takes that activity off of your picnic table, too. Clean cookware and the kitchen bin can be stored nearby, and you'll have a great setup for any meal. We both have the same station, and it's a good one.
Sorry, I was going to say we're using it to record the podcast on right now.
Yep. It makes a great desk as well as a cook station.
Yep.
We have the same one. It's got an aluminum top cook surface, built-in drying rack below, two fold-out shelves on either side with hooks that double as wine glass holders, cup holders, and a perfectly placed elastic cord for attaching a roll of paper towel.
Another item you could bring is a smaller table of some kind. You can find folding, roll-up, and collapsible kinds. They can all be useful as an additional spot to keep items off the ground, a place to dry some extra dishes, or maybe as a game table or a nice spot to eat or have your coffee or a glass of wine. If you can fit it in, it's another item we usually bring along. Really, at the most basic level, it can provide an additional clean surface that won't take up much space underneath a dining shelter. Which, if you don't want or necessarily have the space to put the picnic table underneath, can make a great option.
Another really nice to have that is much more compact than everything else we've mentioned so far in this section, and just as wonderful to have, if not even nicer to have than some of those items, is a hammock. Nothing beats gently swaying back and forth, reading a book, or dozing off staring at the trees in a hammock.
I almost think, yeah, that's going to be part of the essentials bin this summer. I'm just moving it over.
Good idea. Right? And it's, yeah, then it's always going to be there.
Exactly. So getting into the sports equipment. Bikes can be one of the best ways to see a lot of the park you're staying in, and most often get stored outside your vehicle so they don't take up a lot of precious cargo room.
Same goes for boats. With many of the lakes Ontario has to offer, a paddleboard, kayak, or canoe can be hours of fun. We started off renting paddleboards at provincial parks and then each got one of our own.
Having some kind of way to get out on the water, even just for an afternoon, is a highly recommended activity. My family almost always had a canoe or kayak with us growing up, and the memories of exploring the different lakes and water systems in the park are some of my favorites. It gives you new ways to see the beauty of the landscape and ecosystems from a different perspective that you just don't get on land. Try renting and safely getting out there. It's all part of the adventure. And don't forget about relaxing on the water.
And for relaxing, we mean floaties and pool noodles.
Oh yeah. Having an inflatable of some kind makes a very nice yet fun way to enjoy soaking in the water. Steph used to have this giant two-person double donut with an attached cooler in the middle inflatable thing.
It was great.
Yeah. And as inflatable things do, it met its end. But we ended up as a group opting to purchase single donuts that were all basically a group together that can then connect with interchangeable accessories and with each other. So one of those interchangeable accessories was another cooler. Plopping in one of those floaties with a cold drink in hand in the middle of the lake is still one of the best ways to spend a hot afternoon.
Oh yeah, that cannot be beat. We always say, let's go, it's time for a float.
Right? Hard work in the morning, hiking, all the, I don't know, hiking, biking,
cooking,
getting
cleaning,
things ready,
walking the dog. There's so many things, and then you just hop in one of those floaties, dip your feet in the water, and just float. Then there's the other smaller sports equipment that you can bring, like soccer balls, footballs, volleyballs, badminton, or say a frisbee. These things can turn a beach bum day into an impromptu tournament. Horseshoes, cornhole, lawn bowling, or croquet are also great lawn game classics, often best enjoyed on the campsite with a cold one.
One of the coolest things we've seen, in an RV, mind you, so space considerations and all, was a pair of Frisbee golf standards. It's not something you're likely to see unless you have the space of an RV, but you never know.
Yeah, that was definitely a unique one.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are the quieter activities you can add to your list. Reading, crosswords, Sudoku, sketching, drawing, painting, embroidery, knitting, whittling, yoga, whatever floats your boat. Quiet time is part of camping as well.
And don't for a second think we've forgotten about games. As we said earlier, a pack of cards should just live in your camping supplies. But any of your other family favorites should also come along. Group games, games you can play without a table, or games without many small or paper pieces are best.
We're rounding out our list with electronics. In this day and age, you're likely to want to bring a few electronics that you'll have with you no matter what. Even if you're going to disconnect or don't get signal, you may need a phone just for emergencies, but it still needs to be there and be able to turn on.
Many of these items used to be battery powered, but now everything seems to be rechargeable, meaning you don't need spare batteries, but a power source. During your driving time, you can charge items, but many vehicles don't allow for charging when they aren't actually running, so you can't rely on your car for power. Items to remember include your cell phone, smartwatch, Bluetooth speaker, lighting systems, camera, solar panels, and charging banks. You can get combination solar power charging banks that are affordable, durable, and readily available. You'll also need all of the applicable charging cables. And then we recommend getting a pouch to keep all of these things together and organized.
Hey, Camper Sue, what about packing with a trailer?
Hi, Camper Sue here. Today I'm going to talk about packing for camping when you're using your pop-up trailer. You should keep as much gear as you can in the trailer so that you can be ready to go quickly. Things like your dishes, glasses, cutlery, dishwashing equipment, blankets, towels, coffee maker, toaster oven, even a crock pot if that's something you use, lawn chairs, these are all great things to leave permanently in your trailer. In addition, we take a folding wagon with us. It's great for many things, like going to the beach, but one thing we use it for is taking it to fill the water jug. If you put the water jug in the wagon and take a clean, never used water filter, then when you get to the water tap, you can just put the filter in and fill up your jug. You don't have to take it out and set it in the wet mud. Usually, we take a bungee cord to fasten it in the wagon on the way back to the campsite so you don't lose it halfway back. I would also suggest taking a roll of duct tape. You're going to find a million uses for it that you can't even think of right now, but they're always going to be something that can be done with duct tape. The other suggestion I would make is a set of fireplace tools. Charity shop, Value Village type place, great to pick up a set of these. And these are great to have around the campfire. You're not looking for sticks, and you know they're always there to help you with your campfire. So those are just a few little other thoughts I have. Take care.
Good ideas, Sue. Thanks so much. Whew! Did we cover everything you could ever want to include on a list ever?
No, probably not. But we've definitely given you enough information to start building a list of your own.
Figuring out what to bring is only the first part of packing, but getting it all into your car is an entirely different ballgame. I consider myself a super packer, spatial organization is my forte, and this is a game that I love to play.
Yeah, see pictures that we've posted.
Yeah, watch me go.
Right? Before you start throwing everything into your car, there are a couple of things you can do. Protect your vehicle. Whether it's with a cargo liner, a spare tarp, or dollar store floor mats, put a layer down between your gear and your car. Your stuff will inevitably get dirty, and that dirt will get into your car. There's going to be sandy shoes that are going to hop in and out. There's food and drink that's going to be moving in and out of coolers, and you're likely going to be throwing a few bags of firewood in there too. Plus, you're going to have to keep your garbage somewhere overnight if you didn't take it to the dump. You'll thank yourself when you spill the drink you're pouring on top of the cooler in the trunk that you have a mat there.
And when you're cleaning the car out after your trip too. Yeah.
Make sure the front seats are in place for the tallest person who will be driving. I'd say it's a given that the passenger seat will allow for as much leg room as possible if it's going to be occupied.
We've made the mistake before of not adjusting the front seats accordingly. When returning home from a weekend away, I was driving and I could feel my eyes drooping. I immediately asked Allison to take over the wheel. We pulled off the highway at a rest stop, swapped seats, and Allison, who was a solid 5-6 inches taller than me, instinctively reached under her chair to move it back.
I remember this trip and this incident. Well, lucky for you that whatever space I gained by just pushing the seat back with all of my might against the completely jam-packed trunk was just enough for me to comfortably and safely get us home.
And I am forever grateful. Anyways, back to the big pack. There's usually some space under the front seats and in the spaces between the headrests on the folded down seats. Load those places before you get everything else in. Extra shoes, towels, first aid kits, any smaller items can go in these spots.
There also might be some space underneath the floor of your trunk, around the spare tire, some small compartments. Depending on how much extra room you need, every square inch can be utilized to get everything in that you want and need.
Depending on the size of your vehicle and the amount you're packing, you might be able to get everything in one layer, allowing unobstructed use of your rearview mirror. The more likely scenario is you'll have a second layer and could potentially be completely full, especially with all of your uneaten food on the way out.
If you're camping with a family or more passengers in the vehicle or going for a longer trip, you may need the additional storage of a roof bin or bag or a hitch shelf. Anytime you're using a piece like this, be sure it's installed properly and that you know how to safely lock any clasps or strap things down if necessary. One of the last things you'll do is strap anything on the vehicle or the hitch shelf and load bikes or boats onto racks. These things often prevent hatchback doors from opening, so don't go getting too ahead of yourself here.
If it's going to be raining when you arrive at the campsite, make sure you've got easy access to a tarp at least, and you might want quick access to some rain gear too. The same goes for bugs, especially if you're leaving the city and heading into a campground in the evening. Not only are there likely to be more bugs where you're going, but if you're arriving around dusk or later, that can be even more so. Keep a long-sleeved set of clothes or at least some bug spray handy.
Mm-hmm. So, you have the car packed. Is there anything else that you should be bringing with you? This is the time to double or triple check your list. Ask yourself, do I have my wallet, mask, it is 2021, spare keys, phone, before you leave? Those are some of the items that you want to make sure that you don't get too far without.
Why bring the spare keys, you ask? Well, allow me to relive a few hours that could have been absolutely terrible had I not had a spare set and kept them with my trustworthy camping buddy Allison until we were ready to leave the park.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks again. After packing up from a relocation after evacuation, where we had wrapped up an adventure on 2 days of rain, with a departure day full of sunshine, a few of us decided to stay back, rent canoes for a couple hours, and enjoy the weather. Away we went, and when we returned, I asked my brother, "Where's the bail kit?" Quickly adding, "My car keys are in there." We concluded that we had actually left it by the rack instead of bringing it out with us, and it was nowhere to be found. We explained our plight to the staff and waited an additional hour or so to check each returning canoe's bail kit numbers to no avail. Lucky for me, Allison had not lost her keys, and my spares were still in her possession, safely in her car. Left my information with the registration office, and camping people being camping people, my keys were found and returned to park staff.
Thank goodness. Plus, we used it as an excuse to take a day trip out the following weekend. Fortunately, the park was within a short enough distance from home to allow us to enjoy a day at the beach and on the water and to get your keys back.
To this day, we always bring our extra keys and swap with each other at the beginning of a trip. I don't know about you, but I'd rather drive to your house, which is nearby, if I forget my spares with her than out to another park, despite the nice day trip we had that time.
Not to mention, you're never going to live that one down.
I know, and I deserve it.
Well, whatever.
Anyways, I'm about ready to pack it in on this one, so let's summarize.
Oh gosh, of course, I've planned to bring it all together, too.
There's a lot of time and effort that can go into planning and packing for camping. And the more you practice, the more you load and unload your car, whittle down or add to your regular camping list, the more ingrained in your own camping process it will become. It really all comes down to being prepared, making a list, gathering your gear, making certain you've got all your gear, and getting it all into the vehicle with all the campers. These are the things that set you up for an amazing camping trip.
Is it just me, or do you feel like making a packing list? We've got a weekend coming up.
Way ahead of you on that one. And don't try to tell me you don't already have some kind of list going too.
Okay, fair enough, true.
Well, everyone, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And when you tune in next time, be sure to come with an appetite. That's not true. Well, everyone, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
That's a wrap on another episode. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Remember to share this episode with others to help us expand the Campfire Committee community and pass on the love of camping and the great outdoors.
For more, check out our website, thecampfirecommittee.com, and find us on social media at The Campfire Committee.
And join our Facebook group, a place where you can share your favorite memories, places, and ideas when it comes to all things camping. Also, let us know what camping or outdoors topics you want to hear more about in future episodes, your camping stories, and any other feedback you've got.
Join us next time outside and fireside.
And until then, this campfire has ended.
Before we go, we'd like to thank Sue Logan, better known around here as Camper Sue, for her endless camping knowledge, support, and experience.
And Stephen Pavan, our all-in-one editing team. We couldn't do this without either of you.
And to all the extended members of the Campfire Committee, thank you.
All sound effects that are not our own are from thedevo.net.
Music from Epidemic Sound. For more details on all episodes, see our show notes.